time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, this is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
We're back. Month three, Black History Year. We in the building, you know, still celebrating. Oh, man. Shout out to the women. Black Women's and Women's History Month as well, so you know. But we still out here.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, man. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Shit.
Yeah.
Just wrapped the season, so, you know, clearing up a little bit. Focusing on some new shit. Trying to move on to the future for, you know, the hiatus. Get
right,
shit done.
Right. I hear that. You sad?
Am I sad? No, yeah. No. I'm happy. I'm optimistic. You know what I mean? You know, it's a lot of new shit that's revealing itself. Things are opening up, you know, tables. I'm getting seats at tables that, you know, I never had a seat at, you know what I mean? So shit, I'm not sad at all. I'm just trying to make shit crack.
That's what's up. Now, I didn't mean sad based on your opportunities, but I meant, you know, you were just.
No, doing I know what you meant. Like, yeah, show over with. Am I sad? Nah, it's, you know, it's a hiatus. So, you know what I'm saying? It's not nothing to be sad of. It's like going on vacation.
Oh, okay. All right. That's what's up. That's cool. That's what it is. So you sitting at new tables, huh?
Yeah, man. New tables, new opportunities, you know. I think it might have been my suit picture. I mean, I posted my picture of my suit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, conversation started changing.
car and driver. Yeah.
That's what you call it.
The Benz and the Blicky. That's awesome. Yeah, man. So yeah, so what was the response in the world?
You know what I'm saying? It's very subtle. Like, you know, like as far as like when you do business out here on your own and shit, and I know you know, it's like, you know, nobody gives you feedback per se. If you're doing well, if you're doing not well, your only feedback is if your phone is ringing with opportunities. You know what I'm saying? That's the only feedback to let you know that you're doing good out here. There's no cheerleaders, no, you know what I'm saying, no fan squads or no shit like that. So only reason you know that you're making the right moves is that your business is moving in the right direction, right? So it wasn't like nobody called and say, yo, I saw this, so this. It's not like that. But ever since, you know, you put that out there, you know what I mean? It's just like a different energy coming to you. You know what I'm saying? People approaching you in a different manner. They're talking to you about different things. And also, you know what I'm saying? It also has to do with, you know, maybe I'm changing as well. So maybe I'm putting the energy out that I want to bring back to myself. And so it's like that. So, you know, like in the video business, when I first started, you know, it was no template. And I was just out there, you know what I mean? And then I could only try experiments. Well, let me see if I put this out there, let me see what comes back. And you know, your work slow up, you create something of your own, and be like, all right, let me just make some shit just to keep my shit cracking. And then you might make some shit that resonate, and then your phone start ringing for shit like that, you know. So it's an experiment in doing things and putting things out there to see what comes back, like you're fishing. So that particular thing, I didn't really do it for that reason, but ever since I did, and I'm not even sure why that it's the reason why some of this stuff is cracking, but ever since I did, shit's been different. That's all.
That's what's up. That's what it is. That sounds good. Sounds good to hear, man. Yeah. That's what's up, man. I'm glad to hear that shit. That was a dope shoot. That was a dope shoe. Yeah, yeah. I definitely hit you on the horn. I said, shit, this thing got,
got the pistol. Your friends will give you feedback. Your friends will call you. You're like, hey, nigga, what's going on? What you doing out there?
I said, oh, shit, this nigga here look like a motherfucking secret agent in this bitch. That's what's up. Has there been any more activity with the that car club situation, or they haven't really?
They haven't had a new event. I think they're supposed to have an event this month, March. Okay. Shout out Uptown Car Club. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They've been campaigning and you know, getting a registration drive going and all that type of shit. I think they got like a little small, like not their own meetup, but like they're gonna be out at I think they do this car thing every weekend. And different car clubs or put their tent up and shit like that. So I think they might be doing something like that this weekend.
Okay. All right. That's what's up. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
What's good with you?
What's good with me, man? Not a whole lot. Just chilling, you know, still out here social distancing. You know what I mean? Not a whole lot. Doing some writing, doing some work. Trying to think what I've been doing. I've been, you know, just working on shit. Just still working on shit. I haven't really delivered nothing in a minute outside of I put a clip up about a week or two ago. That was something just that I had been wanted to just throw some shit out. But I'm trying to I'm jump back on to, like I said at the top of this thing, I've been trying to figure out, you know, how to make beats and how to edit video.
I remember that.
Yeah, so I kind of fell back a while on it, and I kind of jumped back into it. You know, I've been watching a lot of film, just trying to get inspired. You know, and I've been saying that for a while, but I've been locking back in with just the with the programs. You know what I mean? Like on on the audio tip, I'm just using GarageBand at this point just to kind of learn some of the fundamentals. You know what I'm saying? Because I think I've said this before, making beats is not what I thought it was. It's a lot more technical. You know, not even in a way where I knew there was going to be a learning curve, but what I mean is like, I thought it was going to be a lot more like, you know, hitting the pads and, you know what I'm saying? Like, really beating it out, kind of lunchroom table, at least with your percussion, but it's a lot of clicking and dragging and, you know,
programming and
it's a lot of that and splicing here and, you know, so there's a hell of a learning curve, you know? What I've been doing, one of the things I've been doing as of late, I got this from Seinfeld, you know, you know, like when you're working on anything, whether you're writing or you doing anything, sometimes, you know, sometimes people are like, yeah, I got to work on some shit. And then, you know, you throw yourself into it or whatever, but there's not really a point to what you do. Like, he was like, you know, it should be something finite to what you're doing. Right. You know what I mean? Like, there should be an end point to what you're doing. So, like, he said, if I'm writing jokes, you know, I'll just put the timer on for like an hour. And I'll just go in for a full hour. I won't do anything else but write jokes. And even if I'm not writing jokes, even if I'm not writing jokes for that full hour, I'm not doing anything else. I'm dedicated to that shit. But once that alarm goes off, I'm back out into the world. You know what I mean? Back into doing whatever. So it kind of makes that shit way more targeted, way more focused. It's almost like going back to school for a minute. Like, you know what I mean? Like, okay, I know I got an 8 o'clock class, but I know I'll be out of that shit by 8:45 or I'll be out of it by 9. But while I'm here, let me dedicate all my focus to this. Because I'm the king of, you know, let's do this, but then rabbit hole here, click this tab, open over here. And then next thing you know, you feel like you haven't really accomplished much. So as of late, you know, like I said, I've been jumping into some of these editing things, and I've been trying to chop this one record, Going Up Yonder. I don't know if you heard this shit. It's an old, I don't call it shit, it's a gospel record, but it's hard. Like, it's a tough record. And I'm trying to find a little spot to chop it up and try to find a little loop or whatever. And looping is a lot tougher than I thought. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Without it sounding like it's a loop, without it sounding like it's a, you know, you didn't, oh, I could see where you tape that together. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like I've been spending a lot of time on that. So that was what I was doing project wise recently. Or one of the more recent projects. What else, man? I'm trying to think what other stuff I've been doing. It's funny, man. I just be trying to program the day. And then when it comes time to talk about it, I be forgetting what I did. And I get off the mic, I'll be like, oh, yeah, I guess I did that, too. I should have, you know, blase skip. But just off the first recollection, I definitely saw that. What else? I mean, that's really it. That's pretty much my probably like one of the more interesting things that I've been doing. Oh, but yeah. I wanted to say I was reading this book though. That kind of I'm reading this book recently too called The Practice by mm-hmm. Seth Godin, and it's about shipping creative work. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just more shit about the process or whatever. But one of the things he was just like, if you're a creator, you're a leader. You know what I mean? And it's like it's your responsibility to create. It's not even just a luxury or a practice, but if you're gonna be in it, you're gonna be in it because not only are you creating shit, you're creating things to inspire other people. You know, and mm-hmm. he used this analogy about, I guess in Turkey, they got what they call putting something on the hook. Mm-hmm. Right. So basically when you go out in Turkey, back in the days you go to Turkey, you go buy a loaf of bread, if you had the means, you would buy two loaves of bread and then mm-hmm. you tell them to put one on the hook. So like right. when you leave, if somebody came through that was in need and it's like, yo, you got anything on the hook? They could, you know, take the bread that was provided for. So it's basically just the spirit of paying it forward. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Like, you know, because we all got people that we look to for any type of inspiration. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's editing inspiration. I tell you this, like, as far as editing, there's, like, you know, there's a lot of shit that I look at, right? And one of the things that I like a lot, and I don't watch a lot of them, but I like skateboard videos. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just like the camera work. And I don't want to say all across the board I like it, but there's this cat, William Strobeck. Mm-hmm. Right, he does a bunch of like skateboard videos, like Supreme shit, and does other stuff like that. And I always was like, yo, how do they get these shots? You know what I mean? Because I guess, you know, I had to figure it out to kind of, you know, pay attention to it. But I guess a lot of it is like they skating behind. I had to see it, like they skating behind the skater. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Because sometimes you catch the motion and the shot is in motion too. You know what I mean? And I was just like, yo, that's kind of fire. And just some of the you know, like the music that they use to accompany it to set the tone and how they cut certain shit up and what they show lifestyle wise and then how quick it is. It's very collage, you know, oriented. And I was watching some of his shit. And, you know, just, you know, again, man, I'm still out here just collecting a bunch of inspiration. I also... Now I'm rambling, but now I'm not. But also, I was like, I don't really got too much to talk about. But I meant to talk about this last week. I've been watching a bunch of different films and shit, and I was watching, I'm trying to, you know, sometimes I'll focus on, like, a director. So I was watching, like, been watching some Sidney Lumet films. And I rewatched Dog Day Afternoon with Al Pacino. And I hadn't seen that since probably as I was a kid. So... Probably, I mean, maybe not since I was a kid, but years, at least 15 years ago. And I rewatched it, and I didn't realize, and it's not intentionally funny, but it is funny as hell. Just the way that the story is told, like, mm-hmm. it's a funny-ass movie. Not, you know, like, it's funny in the way that The Sopranos are funny. You know what I'm saying? Like, it don't always mean to be funny, but just in the midst of the drama, they pulled certain things, or just in the, like, just... regular human behavior will manifest itself in a way that's like, oh, he doing that because yeah, that's thirsty or he's greedy or his ego is inflamed. So that's how that manifested. And it's just like, it's familiar. That's what makes it so funny. It's like, oh, I could see, you know, yeah, that would happen. Sometimes like you watch movies are so set up in like a movie, universe that it's so far removed from like real life. You know what I mean? So like everything is very scripted. It's kind of like when you were saying like with the Malcolm and Marie, it's like, well, that's a perfect argument. You know what I mean? Right. Like, but sometimes if it's written right and it's captured right, it feels very familiar and you'll find yourself laughing at shit like, oh, wow. Like you wouldn't even expect to because you under the guise of, yo, this is a drama and I'm ready for some dramatic type of thing. And, oh, man, I'm laughing. I'm gonna laugh 4 or 5 times in this one scene just based off of something that is just regular. Like it, you wouldn't expect it. It was unexpectedly funny. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I dig that, man. So that's what I've been doing that, doing, you know, some other things too, but you know, that's where I'm at with it.
Yeah, man. That stuff, man, that, you know, the beats and all that stuff is very technical. And, you know, the very experienced producers are more like mathematical engineers as opposed to, you know what I'm saying, just drummers or, you know what I'm saying, guitar players, you know? It's a lot of technical shit that go on with it. Just being, having made beats before and fucking with new equipment, that shit always come with, okay, you know what I mean? New terminologies, new, you know what I'm saying? New mathematical equations and you start to see music as math when you start actually having to put it together with the equipment, you know what I mean? If you're like, just a producer that's just telling somebody what to do. Like, hey, I need da 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 da. Give me this. Give me that. Then that's different. That's just your creative mind. But once you actually physically doing it, you know, you gotta. It's a lot of setup before you even get to the boom bap of it all.
Yeah. It's a whole lot. It's like you know what it reminds me of. It's just like. You know, you don't see the process oftentimes with a lot of things, right? So you're saying, yo, like I remember back in the days, I used to want to be a child psychologist. Mm-hmm. And you don't realize how long these people go to school for. Like, you know, there's a lot of schooling in that to go ahead and get your PhD. You're going to be there for a while. And it's a lot of tedious shit. Like, right. It's a lot of, like, it's, you know, you doing statistics and, you know, things that I always seen it like, okay, I always looked at what was the show? I think it was Growing Pains. Mm-hmm. Alan Thicke had like a little office in his crib. You know what I mean? Like, so he worked from the crib. This was before the pandemic. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was working at the crib. He had his own little office at the spot. I thought that shit was so fire. Like, he had his own little space. Everybody knew you go there. That's him on his therapist thing. But when he come back out, he's family man. But I just thought that was the flyest shit. And I was like, yeah, man, I'm about to be, you know, about to be on some therapist shit. I'm going to have a fly-ass house. And then, you know what I mean? I'm going to have a little wing where you come in and you know, I'm going to be sitting in my chair. They're going to be on the couch. They're going to be telling me all the shit. And I'm going to be listening. And I'm hitting them with feedback. You know what I'm saying? That's just how you simplify. That's what you saw. I saw this lifestyle of it. Mm-hmm. And then I remember going to college. And one of my professors, I won't even say her name because I don't know if she want to be attached to this. But I was like, yeah, so yeah. She's like, so how you liking this thing? I was like, yeah, it's cool, but I still, you know, it's a lot more than I expected. She's like, yeah, you're going to have to do this, this, and this just to get your PhD. And you know what that stands for? I was like, nah. She said, poorhouse doctor. I said, oh, shit. Now, this was like the 90s when everything was really cash money. Let's get this paper. You know what I mean? You know, pop champagne. Like, this was when the bling era was really kicking off. Mm-hmm. And I was also kind of street teaming for a few record labels that were about that type of life. And I was like, nah, I think I got to go somewhere that's a little bit more money oriented. You know what I mean? I don't, you know, I'd be, hey, the people will be all right without me. But I just say, it just kind of reminds me of that type of thing. Just the tedious nature of it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not trying to dedicate my life to, you know, and it ain't really no ROI on it. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to all of the people that have dedicated their lives and they, you know, shout out to all the poorhouse doctors and the PhDs out there. You know what I mean? That's doing it for the people. I appreciate it. You all appreciate it. You should be celebrated. And don't let, if anybody's out there pursuing that, don't let money get in your way if that's really what you want. But there was a part of me that just, you know, I really wanted some money. I'm not going to lie. So, you know, it was what it was. Anyway.
Hey, man. But, you know, that's how they get you with lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? And that's how most people end up in different occupations. You know what I mean? It's who you see living the lifestyle that you would like to live. You know what I mean? You might be living one way and you see, you know, the pharmacists at the Walgreens pull up in they Lexus, you know what I mean? And they got their picture on the wall and they look like they run the joint. They hair done and, you know what I'm saying, fresh cut. You like, man, shit, that's the life. You start looking into it and you realize they make such and such coming out of the gate. And it's like, man, shit, that's about it. You know what I mean? So, and, you know, that's how a lot of people, you know, wanted to be in advertising off of Boomerang. You know what I'm saying? That's what I first learned about advertising.
Yeah, I think that's where I first learned, too. Yeah,
Marcus Graham.
Yep, living crazy. Living crazy. Yeah, that shit was nothing but lifestyle. You know, yeah, that was a fire situation. Yeah, man. It's so much of that, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, yes, man. Sir. I mean, but go ahead, man. Keep pushing, man, you know. At one point, you know what I'm saying, you'll be in there and that shit'll click together. You know, one thing before I move to the next shit. One thing about producing that's very important that nobody ever talks about. You know what I'm saying? The best producers are often very organized. You know what I'm saying? Mm. They know where they shit at. They know they go through and they make sure each kick is how they want it. Then they label that bitch, put it where they need to put it. You know what I'm saying? Each snare, they got the right snares. They are labeled. They know where they at. Boom. You know what I'm saying? They know how to organize their samples and all that. You know what I mean? So when it comes time to doing the work, all of it's there, but they do all that tedious work before, you know what I mean? Or as they're going, they set up shop and create a kit and create, you know what I'm saying, this is my 808 kit and this is my snare kit and you know what I'm saying. And I never did that, so you always find yourself scrambling, like, okay, you know what I mean? And you scramble, then you end up using the same shit over and over because you don't feel like going and doing that process of setting up the different sounds the way you need them for a certain song.
Right. Not only are they organized, they are patient and they can discern the difference between kicks. Like, cause you know what I mean? Like when you go through the little library of kicks, and this is just the little garage band library, which is very rooted, you know, that's like the basics, but it'll be about 50 different drum kicks. And they don't all sound way different from the last one, but you know, like that's why you hear stories of Kanye being in the studio for 3 days working on one kick. Right. You like, this guy's got to be ridiculous. What is he talking about? I mean, it pays off, but it's like there's a certain level of, you know, fanaticism or whatever, and you know, obsession that's attached to it. I mean, it's obsession attached to anything that you like, you know, that you love, and that, you know, obviously that's the cheat code, is to hopefully make some money off of shit that you love, you know, and you know, it'll make you cycle through 140 different snare drums,
right,
looking for that one perfect situation.
Right, right. Shit. Speaking of doing shit you love, just hope it don't get your mama fired from a job and shit.
Oh, man. Yeah, man. Talking about your man over West Coast Styles or whatever his thing is, the sneaker baron.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Well, see, the thing about that is, all right, so, why don't you introduce the story just for the people that don't know what we're talking about?
Yeah, so, you know, Bloomberg, I think Bloomberg, was it Business Week or Bloomberg Week?
Bloomberg. Yeah,
Bloomberg did an article on a sneaker reseller, and you know, and after they published the article, it came out that the sneaker reseller's mom is the general manager of North American operations at Nike. And so, and it also came out that he used her credit card to, you know what I'm saying, purchase some of these things. You know, basically, it implicated her in his business. And she stepped down from her cushy job at Nike that she's been at Nike for quite some time, but she's been in that position for about 9 months. Now, you know, in one of the articles, it also said that, you know, she had already let them know that that's what her son did, but they cleared her of any, you know, wrongdoing or any part of his business. So I guess something changed after this story came out and the pressure came down. Maybe they swept it under the rug before and now they're kind of embarrassed because, you know, this kid is out here making hundreds of thousands of dollars. You know what I'm saying? Basically, he was saying, what, $100,000 a month or some shit like that on sneakers?
So, I think he made $600,000 in 1 month.
Wow.
In the month that the first stimulus checks mm-hmm. came out, and he made $600,000 that month.
Damn. So,
bananas.
You know, people are obviously going to be like, what? And then, you know, oh, he got the cheat code. His mama is, you know what I'm saying, giving him the products. He's skipping the line that the stores don't even have. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I guess that became a problem for at the office.
Yeah, that's what was a little unclear to me. I guess to that point, yeah, because from the article, it sounded like she cleared it all. She said, yo, this is what my son's doing. I'm just letting y'all know this is what it is. Full disclosure, blase skip. But I guess it reminds me of Goodfellas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they pulled off the Lufthansa heist.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like one of the biggest heists of all times. And then everybody's coming back to the bar. And De Niro was trying to tell everybody, like, yo, y'all need to keep a low profile. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, my man come through, him and his, he got his lady, got a mink. He got a whole, you know, brand new suit on. He take the mink, he snatched the mink off his man's lady. He's like, yo, I thought I told you to keep a low profile. You about to fuck everything up. And I mm-hmm. think, you know, when you see the little photos, he's outside with at least 500 boxes of sneakers, and he's standing over them like it's kilos of cocaine. You know what I mean? It might as well damn near be. You know what I'm saying?
Might
like
well.
The product.
$600,000 in a month.
Right, right. So he out here, you know, looking like Tony Montana, and there's already, you know, one. You could argue, okay, maybe there's some insider trading going on. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? In the way of there's some intelligence that this cat is getting, knowing the margins. Because a lot of his offense, which is interesting about sneaker reselling that I seen once before, but this kind of reminded me of that. A lot of the sneaker resellers, they make a lot of their money from bricks. You know, what they term as bricks, like sneakers that kind of flopped or they're not doing as well and they're about to be discounted. And mm-hmm. so typically a reseller go cop all of those discounted shoes, you know, and they're like, you know, inline shoes. They're not even like, they're not like the super exclusives. You know what I mean? They're not like the super hyped collab, you know, collabs. They'll have some of that too because mm-hmm. that makes for good Instagram. But a lot of their stuff is made off of the, like, you know, like real... You could go to Foot Locker, and if you went to Foot Locker, you'd have probably been able to get this shoe. It wasn't that hard to get, but unfortunately, you know, a lot of people, you know, foot traffic isn't what it used to be, and then compounded with the pandemic, people ain't going to these spots.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of these things are getting slashed, and he hears about that earlier than most people, probably due to the fact that his mom's plugged in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he goes and buys that stuff, takes it off the market. There's still a bit of a demand for it. So he say, yo, I'm not looking to make 100% flip. Sometimes I make 10, 20%, but he buys so much of it that he's selling stuff that was discounted for back to retail, if not even more, because he's making things that were easy to get feel scarce.
Mm-hmm.
Damn near like the hype joints.
Mm-hmm.
So there was that one part of it. But then, like I said, what kind of threw me was Maybe it was too much heat in the office. Maybe it was a lot of embarrassment because your son is wilding. You know what I mean? So I'm sure people got something to say, because if you clearly said, yo, this is what I'm doing, this is what my son is doing, you know, if it was above board, it was above board. But probably behind the scenes, it got a little hot, or people felt a little certain type of way. Because I know, you know, Nike doesn't want to feel like, or Nike doesn't want to be exposed for playing dirty. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But, and then on comp, you know, add to that, you know, what I've been noticing is I seen, because I looked at his Instagram comments. I think he took his account private now, but like, you know, he became the face of the sneakers app L. You know what I mean? Like, everybody that lost on sneakers app, now they got somebody to point to. It's like, it's because of that motherfucker. That's the reason why I ain't get them sneakers, because this motherfucker's out there hoarding. You know what I mean? He's the face of the bot. You know, a bot used to just be a bot. You know what I mean? But now, a bot got a face. And at the end of the day, man, I'm sure, you know, Mom Dukes probably has some savings. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure she'll probably be all right in a few months, probably slide back into the sneaker industry maybe. But also, if young man is clearing 600K, hopefully he saves some bread too. You know, it's an interesting story, man. I'm always interested to see, you know, just that the behind the scenes of that whole, you know, flipping and reselling and shit like that. Especially, and back to the, you know, as you call it, the flip, but back to even with his thing, like when you read the story, it's way more in depth and way more, you know, involved than people would think. You know what I'm saying? You got to lay out a lot of money, but there's a lot of footwork that goes along with it and everything. It ain't sexy as it looks on the gram.
Right.
And lastly, I think my man who wrote the Bloomberg article kind of like way threw him under the bus. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you, like, he threw that shit in at the last second. Like, it was like the final jab. He was like, yo, unbeknownst to him, he kind of slipped up and played his hand. And he asked for it not to be connected to the story. But you know me, I'm a reporter. And I'm going to have to let motherfuckers know I'm reporting. And that's where it really went wrong.
So the reporter reported what that threw him under the bus?
So, because he's telling, the whole thing is like a profile on the kid, and it's just talking about how he's ill and how he got, you know, he's got this, you know, he has an upper hand, right? Mm-hmm. You know, he knows what shoes are not doing well. Basically, he has some information, and he kind of was real vague about it. He says, look, I'm out here in Oregon. This is where, you know, this is the best city in the world to sell sneakers, because you got Adidas and you got Nike, all the headquarters. So basically, it's a culture of people that work at these corporations. So the information's in the air. You know what I mean? It's like, yo, he's like, I'm a guy that's connected on Wall Street. You know what I mean? The Wall Street of sneakers. I hear things. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But he was being real vague. But what happened was, initially, he called the cat. I guess he was calling from a cell phone, or he accidentally may have called from his mom's cell phone. Nah. So when he called, his mother's name came up on the thing, which made the reporter get to reporting, you know what I mean? Or not even reporting, but researching. And he looked up the mom's. And then when he was also like trying to prove the financials of West Coast, West Coast Streetwear, I think the name of the company was, or is, he showed like a credit card statement. When he showed the credit card statement, it was in his mother's name. Mm. So he should have been a lot more careful, obviously. He was sloppy.
Right.
But he brought it to the cat's attention. He was like, yo, I see your mom's. I see when you called me. It came through with your mom's. And I seen when you sent me the credit card thing, your mom's name is on there. And then I looked it up and see your mom's is like a big wig at Nike. What's the deal? He was like, yeah, you know, Mom Dukes, you know, yeah. She down with, you know, she fuck with the Nike or whatever, you know what I mean? But let's not even talk about that. Let's, you know, real talk, let's not even include this into the story.
Because I'm over here actually moving.
Yeah, they don't, you know, I mean, you know, it might, you know, who knows? I mean, we, you know, we live in the same household or whatever. But either way, Either way, let's not include that in the story. And that was basically the last two paragraphs was him talking about. I was like, ah, he set him up for failure. Right, so that's what happened, man. That's how he went down.
Ah, that's terrible. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at the end of the day, this is what happens in white privilege, the world of white privilege. He will get hired as a consultant all over the place, from retail to Wall Street.
Right,
to come talk to these people about the economics of reselling sneakers.
Right.
His mom will rebound, get a new job somewhere else. He will actually get investors. You know, I predict that you know, some SPAC may come pick him up and have him on the board of directors for, you know, culture-driven businesses. So that's how that shit works. You know, man.
Yeah. He'll be fine.
He'll be fine.
Right. Yeah, he gonna be alright.
Shit, no tears. Sweat.
Nah, it was funny though. It was just so funny. The internet was so excited to see that happen though.
I mean, somebody. Yeah. That, I mean, the people who lost out at on the sneakers app had to have somebody to motherfucking target.
Yeah, the face of the bot. Shit. And you said, well, you know, it's so funny when you said, well, we'll get into that, but we'll get into it in a second. But when you said, speaking of making big money moves and somebody's mom's catching the L, I thought that was your snowfall transition. We're going to talk about that in a second, too, especially nosy reporters.
He is Franklin Saint of sneakers.
Right, man. Anyway, yeah, I mean, well, shit, we might as well talk about that, actually, since we're here. You know
well,
I
mean? Yes, sir.
Did you see the, I'm sure you saw the first two episodes of season four.
Why wouldn't I?
Yeah, right?
Why wouldn't I? I've been waiting. So I was glad they gave us two.
Dog, I was so sick at first when I had been waiting all day, right, ready to watch it. And then because I watch FX live on the app, but through Apple TV. So I 10 o'clock come, maybe 9:59, you know. So I like, let me fire up the old Apple TV and get ready. I go to the app. Here come Apple being Apple. It was like, unfortunately, the streaming is down and you have to go to appletv.com to see blah, blah, blah. Dog, I was sick. Because I'm like, then I go to appletv.com and ain't nothing going on. They going, it's one of them situations. They can't really do nothing for you in the moment. You could just leave a little, you know, a little comment. You know what I mean? Don't you hate that when some Apple shit fuck up and then they say, yo, your computer is shut down because of a problem. Would you like to report? And then you just, you know, in the, nobody reading that shit. So it was one of them. Now it's like 10:03. I'm sick. But then I finally like rebooted it about three times and then finally we came back. So I jumped in about 4 minutes. 4 minutes late, I was sick. But let's get into it. What you think?
Well, it's exciting, as you know, to say the least. You know, it's first of all, let me just say, you know, it's probably for me, you know what I'm saying, the realest thing on TV. You know what I mean? It gets it's good. The texture is good, you know what I'm saying? The situations are good. I enjoy it. I enjoyed it from the beginning. So for it to come back, boom, happy, excited. Fired up. You know what I'm saying? I had to wait to the next day because I watch FX on Hulu Live. And Hulu, they only let you get one household on the live. You know what I'm saying? So,
damn.
So you know what I'm saying? They got it at the house, so I don't have it here.
So they going live at the crib.
They going live at the crib. I'm on the day later program. Now I could use one of my four, you know, change your locations, but you know, I figure it's okay. I wait, you know what I'm saying? So I waited till the next day and watched them both. But let's get to it, as you said. Now.
We.
Now, I love how we come in into a tense neighborhood situation. You know what I'm saying? We in the middle of war. And Franklin is on the mend, and he's coming with his you know, with his war wounds.
Right.
And so setup is already good. Aunt Louie got her club, you know what I'm saying? Motherfucking Uncle Jerome got, you know what I'm saying, got a fresh curl. You know, his right. curl is tight. You know what I'm
right.
saying?
Right, right.
The soundtrack Voice. Is slamming.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And first episode I felt was perfect. Perfect setup, perfect, uh-huh. you know what I'm saying, scenario. You know what I mean? Second episode, you know what I'm saying? Now we got to deal with more of this additional story of the reporter. You know what right. I mean? I'm not interested in her.
New character. You know yeah, nosy.
New nosy character. Yeah. You know, it throws me to the wire. You know what I'm saying? You know, when you got right. the news reporters and the this and the, you know what I mean?
Sabatka.
You got all these, right. Yeah. You got all these fucking stories you got to sift through. We already had, you know what I'm saying, Oso in them, you know, to get right. in the way. You know, had Reed's storyline with his baby mama. You know, okay, we could forgive him. We had Ivy. He was right. interesting because he's eccentric and he's a wild boy. But this reporter, this is a new element that is like, ah. So that's the only thing that kind of threw me. But mm-hmm. I know they're trying to, you know, give it more dimension.
Right.
I guess. But.
Yeah, they trying to fill it out a little bit. We're gonna see what that payoff is. I forecast that she gonna get close, and either she's gonna get clipped, or it's gonna all fall apart at the end. And it's kind of gonna be like, and it might even be frustrating because it's gonna be like, damn, you done put all of this attention on this whole little, you know. Research or, you know what I mean, this pursuit, and it don't turn into anything. Or it could blow the whole thing up, but I don't think it is. I'm not sure if they have an end point or whatever. I don't know if they came in the game. You know, some of these shows say, yo, we only going 5 seasons, so, you know, maybe this is the beginning of the end. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? I will say this, from what I saw from the two episodes, one, like you said in the beginning, Frank in his war wounds, Franklin pimping that cane a little bit. Like, it you know what I mean? Like, it was interesting. At first, I was like, damn, Frank got hit. You know what I mean? But it kind of adds a little bit to his mythology. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? He coming through. He's not letting he ain't letting them cripple his style. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's still coming through. He got the little cane. It adds just a little bit of gravity to what he's doing. You know what I mean? Because I think for a while, you know, he's such a good kid. You know what I mean? Kind of the story for a bit was like, good, smart kid. Kind of, you know, you could kind of, if you kind of want to be reductive about it and not realize that Frank is super diabolical and ruthless, you can kind of say, hey, he's a smart kid. He kind of in over his head in this drug thing, you know, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Somewhat of an innocent. Now he done been hit. You know what I'm saying? Oh, no. You know what I mean? But, like, if you look at everything that's going on and all of the collateral damage around him, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Even include himself, it adds to, you know, the weight of his right. position. You know right. what I'm saying? So I thought that was ill. Your man Scully? First of all, there's a lot of things that I want to talk about. First off, seeing Franklin and Leon kind of fall out a little bit, mm-hmm. that make me sad, man. You know, Leon is like, I said, he's like the Joe Pesci of Snowfall. You know what I'm saying? He's the hothead. He's ready to go. You know what I mean? He's going to act before he think more times than not. But he would hold Franklin down like that cane. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. he was there for him. You know what I mean? But now, you know, Franklin got hit and he kind of was tucked away and, you know, he was out of reach and people had to survive. People had to set up their own situations. And, you right. know, now Lee's in a spot to where, you know, he make good money. He and the peas and he's serving and he's like the king of this little domain. You know what I mean? And he's seen his old position as, you know, driving Franklin around. You know what I'm saying? He sees something a little bigger now. And he ain't never really had the vision of Franklin. So what mm-hmm. he got is a lot better than what he thought he had. You know what I mean? In his own mind. But so that was a little disappointing to see that. Hopefully that turns into, hopefully they you know, get back, you know what I'm saying? Get back to being cool again. But who knows? Maybe Lee might get killed. Who knows? But what I'm going to say, though, I think this season is really going to be more about Man Boy and Scully. Like, they right now are, like, poised to be some of your favorite villains. You know what I mean? Specifically Scully.
Right.
Specifically Scully. Like, I like Man Boy, too. But, like, Man Boy look like he doing too much. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's classic do too much. You know, he already trying to, he want to be the man. You know what I mean? He's a little impatient with how he move. And I think he think he's further along than where he is. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to see kind of how that plays out. But I like Scully's whole, this guy is legitimately crazy. Like, he's off.
Right.
Like, that whole intro where he's at the funeral and he seems like a random question. He's like, yo, how you think they got that man on that? How you think they keep him on that crucifix? Like, I didn't see that was in motion. Right. I didn't see that man was just, that was a brainstorm session. That wasn't just a random brain dropping. Nah, he was putting some things together. He's about to make a Home Depot run. You know what I mean? And so you see what that turned into.
Right.
Man.
I fucks with Scully, man. You know what I mean?
Man.
From the first time they introduced him. Because Scully had the best soundtrack.
I forgot how they introduced him. How they introduced him?
When they had to go see him because they wanted to move into Inglewood and Man Boy's sister was, you know what I'm saying, his baby mama. And they went over there and he was playing the music real loud. But he was playing a lot of the old, like, electro funk, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right, the LA shit.
No, but it ain't even, it's actually New York music, for real. But
okay,
that type of music was big in Miami. That's like the foundation beats of bass, you know what I'm saying? All of those electro songs, you know what I mean? I forget what song they was using in when they first introduced them, but it was definitely like one of them joints, Miami joints that they would play before rap really kicked off real hard. You know what I'm saying? So every time they show him, he's playing that type of music. So they've identified him as, you know, a fan of that kind of music. You know what I'm saying? So so I fuck with him because, you know, they keep him consistent. And he's consistently crazy. That's, for, you know what I'm saying, for another thing. And, you know, like they say, he just stay out the way, he mind his own business and do his own thing. And shit, he just crazy.
Right. Just leave him alone. Let him do him. He's going to be crazy, independently crazy. Yeah.
Right. And that's one thing that about the dope game or the streets or whatever. You don't really get to choose the moral compass of your counterparts. You know what I'm saying? Of the people who you're doing business with or that you had to do business against. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's all kind of crazy shit that be there and you had to still move forward and do business. And it's kind of like, you know, like in politics and shit. It's like, you know, sometimes you don't really want to have to fuck with this particular candidate because he got some proclivities. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But he only option as far as how to think. The other option is not good either. So, you know what I mean? It's like it becomes the lesser of the two evils, as they said in Snowfall. And, you know, it's just wild. Like, you know, we was talking about that shit today. I know Biden got his shit that, you know, I've spoke on it that I don't really fuck with.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But then, do I want Trump in the motherfucking seat? You know what I'm saying? And that, there you have it. That's the only two options.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Now this motherfucker the president.
Yeah. Yeah, it's lesser, what is it? Lesser of two devils, whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Nah, but it, you know, he's such a wild character. When they pulled up to the, little setup, and he put in, I guess he put in the sherm in his ear, mm-hmm. and he's like, it was basically like, y'all don't feel that? Nah, I feel the vibes. There's some bullshit going on like that. Nigga was like, his spider senses was tingling. Yeah. He pulled out the hand. He was ready to go. Yeah.
Like, it's roaches in here.
Mm-hmm. It's roaches in here. Yeah. His analogies are hilarious, too. His analogies is mad funny. So, yeah, man. I think he's going to be, you know, he's definitely going to be real. He's going to be interesting. He's going to be entertaining, man. I think that... more so than even Man Boy. But this was one of the first times where I was kind of looking at Franklin sideways, man. And
there
I mean,
some
it
bad
ain't,
decisions being made.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. And he's typically real thoughtful.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He it was some out of character bad decisions that mm-hmm. he put together, which, you know, I'm thinking, okay, is this where we going with it? Do I have to stop watching this shit now? Because, you
mean?
Know. Because, you know, I'm not, I mean, but you know how it is, like, when you get to, like, say they doing, say it's a biopic.
Right. And, oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? It's like American Gangster. And you know how the story ends. You know what I'm saying? You know he's going to get caught, you know what I mean?
Right.
So when they start getting close, it's kind of like, all right, I'm good. You know what I'm saying?
I don't need to see the fall.
Right. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like when you watch Scarface again, okay. When they, you know what I mean? Right. After a certain mm-hmm. point, you're like, you know, I could cut this off now.
Right. I don't know where this is going. Yeah. Because
I got everything I need from the upstart energy, but the downfall, I don't need that energy in my life. That's toxic.
Right. Yeah, I don't want that to, oh yeah, that energy is, yeah, I don't need that. That's funny. That energy is toxic. It's interesting. I think, you know, it's funny just based on the previous seasons. I believe in him still. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's a good quarterback. It's like watching Patrick Mahomes in his past Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Like, he's still a bad motherfucker, so I'm going to watch it, and he's getting his ass whipped, but he still can scramble well in that pocket. Like, he's still evasive. He's still elusive. He's still one of these mm-hmm. people. Even though I'm looking at the scoreboard, and it's not in his favor, but you know what, man? He's got so much credit in the bank. I'm kind of chalking it up right now with Franklin. I'm looking at it like he's just a little rusty. He been away from the game for a while. You know, he was recuperating or whatever. He's kind of had to lay low. He's kind of been out the mix for a bit. You know, he hasn't really had to get his hands dirty in a bit. So, mm-hmm. you know, he need a few more snaps. He's like a quarterback. He need a few more snaps. He threw an interception. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? He got sacked a little bit, you know, so... hopefully he can lead this team down to the end zone, and I'm hoping he's gonna do it. But what I think, there's a couple things that already, if I had to, you know, we get on our speculation, mm-hmm. a couple things that I'm paying attention to. One, I like the girl T, but I don't trust her. I don't trust her at all.
Oh, why the nigga Pager nah, off his hip?
I don't know. He bugging. He's too. He's off point.
You know what I'm saying?
First of all, he's hobbled. You know what I mean? So he's physically off point. Then, and she sees it. She's like, she's in the game. So she's talking like a coach. She's like, oh, your adrenaline done wore off, huh? She's like a corner mm-hmm. man. Your adrenaline wore off. Go ahead, take a little nap. I know what that is. Yeah, you know, I can't really be calling about Scully right after the whole situation because that's going to kind of look a little funny. Like, she's mm-hmm. so in tune. Mm-hmm. So, like, you got to be careful with her. That's one.
Just wait, before you move on. For
go
to
ahead,
next,
go ahead.
I mean, not if you're listening and you ain't watch it, then you might want to skip. Right.
Oh,
I'm not finna do it no more than what we did. All mm-hmm. I'm saying is, when he went to sleep, his pager was on his hip.
Right.
Woke up, the bitch was on the table. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, I didn't peep that. I thought he put it on the joint.
Nah. Nah.
I gotta watch it again.
You know what I'm saying? And she looked at it. And then he went to sleep. They went to some other shit. And when he when they came back to him waking up, that shit was on the table. That shit wasn't on his hip.
But then when he woke up, didn't she say, yo, your pager's been going off?
Yeah.
Okay, okay, okay.
That don't mean you take it off my hip.
No, no, no. True it did. True it did. No, no,
let
no,
that
no,
bitch
no.
go off.
Right. Yeah, he didn't catch that. I didn't even catch that. I got to rewatch that. But, yeah, and hopefully, I mean, we kind of deep into it, but I would imagine most of the people that listen to the show know, because we already said last week, you know, like, they kind of know what we do here. We do a lot of spoilers, and we don't, like, we're not super flagrant, but it's been damn near, it's actually been a full week, you know what I'm saying, by the time it's time for episode 3. But anyway, my other thing is, you know, we're just speculating. One of the other speculations is, I feel like one of the parents is going to get killed, and I think it's going to be the father. And the only reason I'm saying that is a couple, it felt like, you know, I feel like everything in TV is deliberate. And just so after that whole ambush failed, you know what I mean? And Franklin come back to the crib and he's spazzing. He's trying to get his family to leave. He's like, yo, y'all need to go to a hotel. And they're like, nah, we ain't leaving. You got us in this bullshit. We ain't leaving, whatever, whatever. That's some foreshadowing. But then also, you know, Pops is in the world. The reporter is on him, and the cop, the dirty cop, is on him. You know what I'm saying? And you know, like, and that's just from that episode. Obviously, I'm sure the people in the streets already know that's Franklin's father. You know what I'm saying? Mel knows Franklin's father. You know what I'm saying? She might even have, you know, especially now that Franklin ain't dead, she might still have a bit of an axe to grind, you know what I mean? Because Frank took her father out, and that could be eye for eye if we want to go that way. So I just think that one of the parents might be a casualty before the end of the season. You got any speculation?
My speculation is it's the new bodyguard is the feds.
Oh, Lerp.
Lerp.
Yeah.
Lurking ass. I work for Franklin.
Right.
Really?
Right. That's interesting. I remember Lee was like, well, I'll slap your fat ass. Was that Lee, wow. But what else? I didn't even think about that.
Lurk is lurking. Lee gonna get, I mean, what's the young buck name? He gonna get himself killed.
Is it Leon or Lee?
Leon is Franklin. Is Franklin homie?
Leon is Leon with the little fro that now
yeah,
he
yeah,
working.
Yeah. I'm talking about the little young homie who tried to plug them with the Mexicans.
Oh, the kid that was in the back with them took him to that little alley. Yeah, he's making rookie mistakes. He might, but I don't even think, is this his first episode? Because I don't feel like
he was invested in
him.
Remember in the other season, he was like trying to get down. He kept coming to Leon like, yo, put me down, you know what I'm saying? And then he was the one who said, I'll slap the shit out of you, fat boy, you know what I'm saying?
I thought that was Lee that said that.
Nah. I mean, he might have said it in another scene, but in this particular scene, the young boy was trying to get on, and then fat boy was fucking with him. Then he was like, I slapped the shit out of you. They was like going back and forth. Fat boy was out of breath.
And then Leon
was like, you know what I'm saying? We don't let no punks in this shit. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to do this shit, and then, you know, he signed up. He signed up for the game.
Right. Yeah, interesting. Now, what are your predictions with the whole Man-Boy Scully situation? How do you think a lot of that's going to play out? You got any thoughts to that?
Well, my thoughts is that, you know what I'm saying, they're going to let it run. You know what I mean? That's a very tense aspect of the story, so I think that's going to play out over a few different episodes. That, you know, that puts Franklin in danger, that puts Man-Boy in danger. Everybody's in danger right now, you know what I'm saying? His mama. So I think that'll play out for a while. Either way, both characters are pretty expendable, you know what I'm saying? So I think Man-Boy might have a little more a little more cachet
in the game. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think the story of Man Boy going out and taking over after Franklin goes to jail might be, right. You know what I'm saying? Or might be the catalyst of Franklin going to jail or getting killed or whatever at some point in the story. I think Man Boy is the arch nemesis that always appears.
Yeah, I can see that. Because he want what Franklin got. Right. He wants to be the man, whereas Scully's a little content with whatever he's doing. Man Boy is aspirational. Man Boy trying to get to that next level. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, man. I'm ready. I'm so happy to see it back, man. I might even go back to watching some of those early seasons just because I've been forgetting a lot of that type of stuff. Like, you know, some of these people that were in the last season. I totally forgot about where Scully came in and the other cat you just talked about. So I might have to do a little refresher. But it's a hell of a show, man. So shout out to
John Singleton.
Snowfall. Yeah, rest in peace, John Singleton, man. Damn. Yeah. Walter Mosley, I think, is involved. Mosley.
Dub C,
dialect coaching. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's a hell of a production. One of my favorite shows, definitely. Let's ask you something. Did you see the D'Angelo Versus? Did you watch that?
I did not.
Okay.
I had no real interest in watching it.
Damn. Yo, okay, talk to me.
No, for real. I mean, not that I don't like D'Angelo. No, I actually like D'Angelo. But it was like, it wasn't clear. It was like D'Angelo and Friends. It sounded more like a concert than a versus. You know what I'm saying? You know, I wasn't interested in the pitch. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that might have turned a lot of people off because the numbers were surprisingly low. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe not surprisingly. I mean, D'Angelo is, like, D'Angelo's kind of got that Sade mystique. You know what I mean? Like, he's real infrequent with his releases. You know what I mean? He's celebrated, but he'll go away for a long time type shit. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, to your point, that whole End Friends thing was real ambiguous. It was kind of out of the blue. You know what I mean? Like, it was different from, yeah, because Versus is definitely, you know, it's almost like a boxing match. Mm-hmm. You want to know the match. You know what I mean? To know what's what. So it's just like, yeah, Tyson versus his homies. You know what I mean? Like, yo, all right, well, what's that mean? What's this going to be, sparring? And then turns out, I don't know if you knew, but it turns out we were the friends. You know what I'm saying? So it's like it was just him kind of playing joints. DJ Scratch was on the side. DJ Scratch killed it on the warm-up. Mm-hmm. Like,
so that's what it was? We was the friends?
Yeah, that was the reveal. It was like, you guys are the friends, and it's a one-man versus. And, I mean, it was a couple drop-ins. Meth and Red came in for two records.
Mm-hmm.
And then Her came in to do Lauryn Hill's part on Nothing Even Matters.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget my man, Harold Keon, I think his name is. My man,
Keon
Harold, he kicked it off. Mm-hmm. He kicked it off with D'Angelo in the beginning. And other than that, it was, so damn, you ain't even see it.
You know who Keon Harold is?
Yeah, it's the guy from the phone situation.
Yeah, the son who the lady was trying to take his son's phone or whatever.
Which is a damn shame, because he's like a celebrated jazz musician, and now that's his blurb. You know who Keon, he the cat from the whole phone debacle.
Hey, man, he got a billboard in Times Square.
You know about getting his phone?
Him and his son. It's not about his phone, but the notoriety from that shit got him on a billboard. It's probably why he's on the Versus. You know what I'm saying?
What was the context?
I don't remember. I just saw that he had a billboard in Times Square on his Facebook. I didn't read the caption, but I was like, oh, that's dope. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's moving. I think it was a Spotify. Yeah. No, it was a Spotify list. I think he did a playlist with his son. Him and his son curated a playlist or something like that.
Got it. Yeah. That's what's called. the Falsely Accused playlist. I like that shit. Watch. So you didn't see it, but my takeaway from the situation. I watched it. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. You know what I mean? Because I'm a D'Angelo fan, right? So I enjoyed it. It was a weird thing. It made me say, I want to read an autobiography of mm-hmm. D'Angelo. I would like if D'Angelo at some point puts pen to paper or works with, you know, David Ritz or somebody, like, to kind of get his story together. Because I feel like there's so much shit that we don't know. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, so so he came out, and at the beginning of it, you know, he was singing initially, like, the first song. I forget what song it was he opened up with. I don't know if it was a new joint, but he was singing, like, with his own voice. You know, he's got a very specific voice. You know, he could do the falsetto, but he's got, like, that real, like, kind of, like, I don't say muddle, like, it's like a meow, kind of. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You know D'Angelo's voice. It's singular. It's his own thing, but it's a groove. So he's singing, you know what I mean? He come out, he got a big-ass hat on with, like, a stocking cap under the hat. Like mm-hmm. an old school, your grandmother's stocking cap, you know what I mean, wrapped up over the hat. He got like a big ass, like, look like a fur, you know what I'm saying, like a big fur coat mm-hmm. on, and he got like a, I think like a leather vest or something underneath the fur coat. So, and then he's behind the piano, and he nice, he's a beast on the piano or whatever. And he's whole DM, he comes out, he's smoking a cigarette. You know what I'm saying? When he's singing, you could tell he smokes cigarettes. You know what I'm saying? But he's singing and shit in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And Scratch is there. You know, Scratch warmed it up. He set the whole mood. And, you know, because the last verses with Keisha Cole and Ashanti, the DJ beforehand was kind of all over the place. So it's like Scratch put on a DJ clinic. You know, Scratch mm-hmm. get in his bag.
Yeah, Scratch is Scratch. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And he's like, he gonna let you know. You know what I'm saying? Like most DJs. You know what I mean? When a DJ get a platform, they gonna let you know. Like, I'm that motherfucker. So he was doing some fly shit. Doing tricks, all types of wild shit. So he had the whole, she had the vibe. Because, you know, Versus is oftentimes runs fairly late. This was kind of on the less later side. And it's probably because of the Apollo. You know what I mean? That's a you know, a union building, they probably real strict about things. So anyway, D'Angelo comes out. Scratch is still there on the tables on one side, and D'Angelo's over here behind the piano, you know what I mean, on the other side, sitting down with his coat on, big hat, you know what I mean, got a, you know, cigarette in his hand and shit. And he's D'Angelo, you know what I'm saying? He's out of the shadows, you know what I'm saying? And so the first song he's singing and shit, and then, like, he look over at Scratch, and Scratch, like, play, you know, one of the records. Mm-hmm. I don't know what record he kicked it off with, but he plays a record, and it's not just you know, there's no band or nothing like that. It's only, I think, two pianos. So the only musicality there is Scratch on the tables and D'Angelo on the piano. And when Scratch is playing the records, these are the records with the vocals. You know what I'm saying? So it turned into like almost like, so D'Angelo's singing over his own vocals like a SoundCloud rapper. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's D'Angelo. You know what
but
I'm saying? It's
that's what usually happens on Versus, but it's usually short. And then, you know what I'm saying? Then the next person will play their record. But that's what I'm saying. That's why, like, you know, it didn't feel like the same kind of format, you know what I mean?
That's a good point. Because there is that. But also what also happens in Versus is, you know, there's little anecdotes between the records.
Right.
You know, when I wrote this record, we was doing this. We was in the studio. Da-da-da-da-da. This was inspired by that. Oh, man. I remember in this session, da-da-da-da-da, I was so upset about this. Context. You know what I'm saying?
Smoking on Pookie Loke.
Right, all of that. Right, exactly. Nigga, I put him in the ground. You know what I mean? All of that shit. Like, yeah, some color commentary. Nah, it wasn't a lot of that with D'Angelo. D'Angelo would come out and he'll sing a little bit. He might step from behind the Step From Behind the Piano. It reminded me of the Alicia Keys, John Legend joint, but which is John Legend. You know what I mean? Oh, with John Legend to get up. Because I'm saying that's only because it's only one person.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's why I'm not saying it like to say anybody's a proxy for anybody. I'm just saying it's just one guy. And John Legend was like, he would go to his seat by the piano, start a little bit, and then come out, sing a little bit, but then go back and sit down. You know what I mean? This is what D'Angelo was doing. And, you know, he had his coat on for a long time. And, you know, like, D'Angelo's a fucking a sex symbol on a certain level. He makes this type of music. And, you know, obviously the Untitled video put him in a different situation, put him in a different conversation. And that's why I'm like, yo, I really want to know, I really would like to read an autobiography, because you've seen in interviews and, you know, I remember Questlove had said something about it when he was on tour with him. But, you know, like, there was a time when, like, you know, because when he first came in the game, he came in the game behind the piano. Brown Sugar, he was behind the piano. It was about the music. It was about the voice and about the songs and, you know, the piano playing and all of that, the artistry. Then when he, you know, when he got in shape and all of that and he did the Untitled video, you know, it became about flesh. Right. You know what I'm saying? It became about, yo, you know, women at the shows, take it off. You know, that type of shit became a distraction. Yeah, nigga became Magic Mike ass nigga. You know what I'm saying? So then he was like, it was kind of fucking with him. And then, you know, now that, you know, then if he gained weight, now that becomes a thing, whatever, whatever. And it was like, it seemed like he was kind of reluctant to take off the coat. You know what I'm saying? Because he ain't D'Angelo from back in them days. You know what I'm saying? He, you know? And so it was like, it was just like, there was like a little bit of somberness going on with it. You know what I'm saying? Like he was happy to be there. You know what I'm saying? But like, you could kind of feel like, you know, like you can kind of feel like he's somebody that don't really, he's a recluse on a certain level. You know right. what I'm saying? He was very appreciative that, you know, the people came out. He was very happy to see Red and Meth. You know what I'm saying? Happy they showed up and did their thing or whatever. Gave them pound. He was really happy to see her. You know what I'm saying? Seems like he's a big fan, whatever, whatever. Like he was very appreciated and grateful. But he was like, kind of like, still kind of behind the scenes, on stage at the same time. Like he was threading that needle. So it was just an interesting moment. And obviously most people that are there are D'Angelo fans. The music is still the music. It's fantastic. Even if he's singing over the vocals, it felt like, to me, it felt kind of like a club walkthrough. You know what I'm saying? You at the club, they like, oh shit, we got my nigga D'Angelo in the motherfucking VIP. He in the VIP, he in his section. The DJ pass him the wired mic and he might sing, you know what I mean? He might sing a little bit over the joint, you know what I mean? But it's two records and he's like, all right, y'all take it easy. It kind of felt like that. You know what I mean? Okay. Like, so it was what it was, man. I'm happy that it happened, you know, but that was my review. I thought it was cool. You know what I'm saying? Like it was, you know, it was what it was. It was cool to see. I think he one of those artists where it's like, it's just good to get eyes on them. You know what I'm saying? Some of them artists you like, yo, they've been away, so I hope everything all right type shit. And so it was good to see him like that. I was gonna say one more thing regarding that, but I forgot. It'll come to me probably next week or whatever. But yeah.
I just go ahead.
No, I was just saying, last thing real quick. So supposedly the next versus is Ghost versus Raekwon.
That's the next one?
But yeah, that's supposedly the next one. It hasn't been confirmed, but there's like the little snippet of the interview, I think, with Swiss and Timbo talking. You know how they do their little recap at the end of each versus, and they talking about what's happening next.
Right.
And it looks like it might be Ghost versus Ray. So
that would be good. You know what I'm saying? That would be good.
It'd be cool. It'd be interesting. Yeah. I think Ghost going, you know, they both dope. You know what I'm saying? And they both, you know, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to say the least. But go ahead.
I still just wish it was, you know what I'm saying, they was in their own space and it was wild how it used to be. But, you know, you got to grow and move on. So, you know what I mean? I just hope that they keep the DNA of the event, of the program, you know what I'm saying, true to, you know, what it is. You know, I know you got to grow and you could do specials. Like, if they said this was a versus special, you know what I'm saying, or something like that, or something D'Angelo and Friends brought to you by Versus, then, right, you know, I would have, you know, gave them a pass. But don't try to pass a concert off as a versus. Unless you got a battle, you know what I'm saying? You got the two artists doing their thing back to back.
Right, right, because it's not what you say it is. So you might as well just be upfront about what to expect. And I guess that's a good point, because it feels like a lot of people were kind of, you know, to your point, like a lot of people were like, I guess, turned off or like unclear of what to expect. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought just the fact that they had D'Angelo was enough to watch it. Right. And in Friends just sounded weird and funny, but I don't know, you know, who knew what to expect. But I was like, wow, D'Angelo at the Apollo, this should be interesting at the very least.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So
the most interesting thing to me was that Timbaland and Swizz Beatz were in the same room for the first time since they started this.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Swizz posted a picture of him and Timbo together. And it was like, this is our first time together since we started this during the pandemic.
Wow. They committed to the verses more than anybody else. That's right. Crazy.
You know what I'm saying? They, of course, they committed to it. They did it. So I feel like they should be commended on that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, and we got our little nitpick things. And then every verses has its own. I think that's part of the culture of verses is that, you know, people nitpick all the little things. You know what I'm saying? But for us to even be sitting here saying that there is a culture of verses is an incredible feat. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's good to, you know, and I don't even want it to come across as, because I don't want to come across as ungrateful, because I do appreciate, I watch damn near every, I've watched almost every last one of them, for better or worse. Some of them I've enjoyed more than others. I'm absolutely grateful for the fact that it's there. You know, but you're going to have your critiques like any other show.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they killed that, or that was whatever, whatever. But I'm still happy that it's in existence,
right,
that the platform is there, because I think it's still, I mean, shit, it's about to be a year in pandemic. That shit held us down. Right. You know, I always take my hat off to that shit.
Wear it up.
Yeah, man. Anyway, man. That's what it is. What you feeling, man? Feeling like a transform?
Well, you know, we
got anything else?
You know, we closed out. No, I just want to acknowledge that I closed out Black History Month in a strong fashion. You know what I'm saying? Met a few legends in the last week of February. Shit. You know what I'm saying? So met, you know, man, Ambassador Andrew Young. Met him.
Oh, wow.
Yesterday, I guess that was March, but you know, it's whatever. Met Keisha Lance Bottoms in the mayor's office the other day. It was Friday. We're shooting this project, so we got all these different names around Atlanta, and so you know, but Keisha was exciting for me because she's from FAMU,
and
she's from FAMU Journalism School as well.
Right.
And so shout out to Falana for she actually made it happen, because it almost didn't happen, but you know what I'm saying, she came in and made things happen. But
oh, that's what's up.
There was a point in time after we shot where we were talking about FAMU. It was me, her, Will Packer, and then she was basically, you know, asking what year, you know what I'm saying, all that type of stuff. And then when I told her I was from J school, she, you know, Dr. Hawkins, which I talked about on this whole thing on the pod. You know what I'm saying? I was like, you know, I'm from the Dr. Hawkins era. She's like, and I told my little Muhammad Holiday story in the very condensed version. And, you know what I'm saying? And it was like, it was a moment, you know what I'm saying? And then my man, John Walder, he was shooting behind the scenes. He actually caught the moment. So that was dope, you know what I mean? To where, you know, you could tell that story to somebody who understands, but that's a historical figure at this point.
Right.
So that was cool.
Right.
That was cool. That was a great
all
way.
Ba- Is she from his era too or no?
Yeah, she's probably a couple years before me.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Maybe 2-3 years before me. So, okay. Yeah, she was definitely from that era.
Oh, all right, bet. So everybody, y'all were all like, is Will from that? Oh, he's not J School.
Nah, he's not J School, but he was on the radio station, so he operated within that space.
Okay. So y'all all kind of offspring of that cat. Y'all from the tree.
Exactly.
That's dope. That's real dope. Yeah, man. I was Andrew Young.
Cool, man. He was just laid back, you know. He about 90 years old, man. He's cool as a 90-year-old could be. He's still out and moving. Had a fresh-ass sprinter, you know what I'm saying? Came in, laid down his lines and shit, you know what I mean? But it's just the fact that, like, he's like the last of the whole, you know, the civil rights guys, you know what I'm saying? Like, and he's still here. Like, you know, it's always a trip when you meet somebody that got a main street named after him, you know what I'm saying? In the city that you're in.
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever met anybody. I'm thinking about it. That's a hell of a... It's always funny when you meet somebody that got a main street named after. Yeah. I don't think I've ever... If I think, I'd have to think real hard, but damn. Who else have you met that's got a street named after?
My wife, granddaddy.
Oh, okay. Well, that's hard. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? That's about it. You know what I'm saying? That's it. But it's like... You know, especially like in a city like Atlanta, it's like black administration, so they got like the black figures on their streets. On, you know what I'm saying?
Right, it ain't just
MLK.
Right.
You got Abernathy and, you know what I mean? All the, you know what I mean? Hosea.
Right. Yeah. So, big dogs.
Yeah.
The OGs. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. This is history. It's history. Walking around, still in the... That's so crazy to think, like, you know, it feels so far away, but it's still there. The lifeline is still living. You know what I mean? Like, as far as we've come, it ain't been that far. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, which is interesting. It puts things into perspective when you think about change, you know? Because, you know, sometimes when we think... Not to say we think we had it rough, but some of the stuff that we've had to contend with, you know, you talk to somebody like Andrew Young, they've seen a whole different side of this country. You know what I mean? And like, wow, that's crazy that he's still out there representing, getting it in. So, yeah, man, that's got to be great. That's got to be really cool.
Yeah, so that was a great way to end Black History Month. I also, you know, met some new cats that's creating new history, you know what I'm saying? Like Ryan Wilson from The Gathering Spot. You know, we shot 2 Chainz. You know, we shot Luda.
Okay.
It was a lot going on. Actually, John Ossoff. We shot John Ossoff.
So okay.
He was cool. He reminded me, you know what I'm saying? Not in character, because I don't know him at all. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. But just how he moved. Remember Carcetti from The Wire?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, okay. he like a Carcetti, you know what I'm saying? Except for... I guess more wholesome than Carcetti. but you know, when you don't have many political references from the culture,
right,
you know what
I'm
saying? You gotta go with the one you got.
right. You old Carcetti ass.
And then you know what I'm saying? The guy that was rolling them, it was a black guy rolling them around. Like on The Wire, it was a black guy rolling Carcetti around. I was like, look at Carcetti.
That's funny. Yo, I'm so disappointed in the fact that I didn't realize prior to you told me. That little finger was Carcetti. I was like, yo, this cat looks so familiar. Who is this? Oh, shit, that's Carcetti. Yeah, man. Oh, Carcetti. HBO good for that, boy. They get you back in the whip. Yeah, that's fire, man. Salute.
I wanted to say that before we transform about that. Closed out Black History Month strong.
That's what's up. Yeah, before we get out of here, I want to do give a rest in peace shout out to Erica Watson, who was a really cool. She was a comedian from Chicago who spent some time here in New York. Who you know, I'd worked with her. She was on the scene while, you know, like towards the beginning of when I was starting. You know, she did my shows a couple times. She, you know, we collabed a bit. You know, and she's just a good person, like a real good spirit. I noticed, like, when, you know, a lot of comedians pass, you know, it's often like, oh, they were super funny, whatever, whatever. And obviously that's the name of the game. You want to be funny and all of that. But, like, I think a good testament to how good a person is sometimes, especially in the world of comedy, is when you got an idea of who they were off stage. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Her personality, she was great on stage, you know what I mean? But, like, her personality off stage was fully formed too, and she was just real good people, real great energy, real strong point of view, you know what I'm saying? Like, real warm, real, like, mm-hmm. She was enterprise. Like, she's just good people. Always, you know, it's always good to see her. Always good to chop it up with her. Just one of those people that's going to be sorely missed from the comedy community. And I got the news that she had passed, I think the day before yesterday. Mm. Or, yeah, and it came as a shock. I was like, damn. So, you know, I just want to salute her, you know, quick moment of silence for Erica Watson.
Word up. Word up.
Yeah, so All right, we out of here. You know, until next week, tell a friend to tell a friend,
and even an enemy,
to get in the conversation. We gone. Peace.